This is Joey Shimotaro. I'm here at Maritime Gloucester, or is it that we're calling it nowadays?
You got it right.
I got it right. With Tom Balf. Tom is the executive director. Is that what we're calling you nowadays?
It is.
And Maritime Gloucester has only flourished through your stewardship. You have instituted a bunch of programs, not the least of which are these speaking programs. Are they monthly or bi-weekly? How often
we do do them once a week. So they begin in February and go through April. So in February we had a series of speakers talking around the theme of schooners, and that was a great success, ranging from the inimitable Harold Burnham talking about his work on building and rebuilding schooners. We shared the podium with Cape Ann Museum, who talked about FitzHenry Lane, and we just had a great series. This month in March, the focus has been on climate change, and we've I think sold out two of the four sessions. Tonight's session, in fact, Rebecca Haney from Coastal Zone Management is talking about, she's a geologist, and talking about sort of the changing shoreline and in light of climate change. And again, that has been sold out. Last week we had this awesome exhibit, presentations by different school kids in the Rockport, Gloucester, and Manchester schools, who are talking about climate change projects. And these are with their science teachers and or with Liz Duff from Audubon. And it was just really exhilarating and energizing to hear these, you know, really articulate kids talk about their projects in climate change. And then next month, we have Large Pelagics Research Center. Molly Lutkovich at UMass, from UMass, UMass Amherst, four top sessions on each of the Thursday evenings, talking about large pelagics, tuna. There's also going to be some stuff on whales, and she always puts together some really top-notch presentations, so we know the house will be full for those as well.
She's a monster in her field. She's like one of the top people, isn't she?
She really is. I mean, she's a great advocate for Gloucester, a great advocate for fishery science and ocean stewardship, and is you know, she's on the cutting edge of research, and so anyway, they're doing great work over there.
I recognize, because my work with you guys is that I get press releases from you. So,
yep.
But I see that the press releases are coming fast and furious from this place. I mean, this is, even though it's been winter, which I never associated Maritime Gloucester with winter activity.
Right.
You know,
right.
In the winter, this place used to shut down. It wasn't that much happening, what's going on. But the press release is like every week, this place is still happening.
Yeah, and I think that at first, you know, we are trying to, I mean, we're just more active and really trying to be, you know, sort of a critical resource and venue for this community on issues associated with maritime heritage, issues associated with ocean stewardship, and other key issues. The other is I think, to give a call out to Melanie Murray Brown, who came on board as our director of program integration and has just done a great job at better promoting our programs and leveraging what we do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you, like many others, think we sort of go into a, you know, a torpor in the winter and sort of, you know, take a long sleep. The reality is, you know, we're in the schools, right? So one of our big initiatives this year has been the expansion of what's called our Ocean Explorers Program. So this is providing maritime heritage, marine science education to all third, fourth, and fifth graders. Traditionally, this has been in the Gloucester schools. This year, through the generosity of a number of funders, including and especially NOAA, it's been expanded to Rockport and Manchester, Essex. Uh-huh. So it's roughly 65 classrooms. It's 1,400 kids. So there's a fall field trip and a spring field trip, you know, where they come over and they sail on the Ardell and they do stuff in our aquarium and they use our digital microscope lab. But in the winter, we're in the schools working with them on a variety of marine science topics. So even though, again, the museum shuts down, you know, strictly speaking, you know, we are very active on an educational front.
I don't know of another organization bringing, you know, young people down to the waterfront like this place is. It's such a critical. I mean, we always, you know, back in the 50s, 60s, even early 70s, you know, there were so many people that worked on the waterfront. People came down to the waterfront, you know, and were part of the waterfront. Now, you know, with so much, the fishing industry has been so consolidated and such a fraction of what it was. You know, a lot of these wharves are, you know, for example, our wharf, there used to be 200 people working at our wharf. Now there's two employees, you know what I mean? So you don't have the activity on the waterfront that there was once. And so it's so critical to get people down and to learn about what was happening, what still happens, and what can we do in the future, which is, I think, a big part of what you know, when you say the stewardship.
Right.
It's a lot of what you guys
do. I mean, absolutely. I mean, it's funny, about probably, I can't remember when Mayor Kirk did a harbor visioning exercise, and I was on the panel. And one of the things that really came out to me was that it used to be that kids got to the waterfront, and we're talking, you know, so these are the adults talking, so they're probably talking 60s, 70s, you know, because their moms or dads were working on the waterfront. Yeah. You know, today, for, you know, too many kids on Cape Ann, their relationship to the ocean is, you know, going to Good Harbor Beach or going to Wingersheep, and you and I love it. There's not criticizing it, but it is not about, you know, sort of actively fishing or actively working on a pier or a wharf or, you know, playing around in boats. Yeah. And certainly one of the things that we are working towards, you know, is, you know, bringing that next generation back down to the harbor. You know, it's not going to be fishing in the numbers that we grew up on, but could it be fishing? Yes. Could it be lobstering? Yes. Could it be marine science and research? Yes. I mean, could it be all of these things that are associated with, you know, working in sync with the ocean? And, you know, and certainly that's our end game. And so getting kids to the harbor and this historic location where so much has gone on and continues to go on is really great. And it's really great to not only do it for Gloucester kids, but, you know, to bring Rockport kids and Manchester Essex kids here to the working waterfront is great.
Just 2 days ago, I was at Pleasant Street Tea and Coffee Company. I ran into Fred Buck, who was archivist at Cape Ann Museum. And I did not realize that the Cape Ann Museum won't be ready to be open until earliest mid-August.
Right.
Are you prepared for because, you know, when people come into town, they ask me, what do I do? Yeah. Top three or four things I always say to do, Cape Ann Museum, Maritime Heritage, get on one of the schooners.
Right.
You know, then you got whale watches, you know, whatever. But,
right.
But Cape Ann Museum, to me, is one of the big cogs.
Absolutely.
This is one of the big cogs. You know, Maritime Gloucester is one of the big cogs. So, you know, I would think that you're going to have a certain amount of extra people coming through this place.
I think so. And, I mean, and actually, sort of one of our big pushes, so in my mind, so, you know, the big focus has been the expansion of this Ocean Explorers program. The next big focus is our ability to tell the story of this site and Gloucester Harbor in a way that's both beneficial to this community as well as beneficial to visitors. And so, you know, there's a bunch of stuff that we are working on. One is, you know, the pier is rebuilt and we're putting lobster pots and shacks and all sorts of stuff that coming out to the pier is an enjoyable exercise. We've received money from the city to develop a series of kiosks that will be installed this summer that tell the story of the site. Right now you come down the site and if you're a visitor or maybe even if you, you know, from this area and you say, this is really cool, but you know, what the hell am I looking at?
Yeah, it's right? a dock. Yeah.
You know, so the ability to tell the story of this site with pictures and information, and then to communicate, because this is all publicly accessible, that there's other stuff going on. You know, you should come into the museum. You should come and take a class. You should go sailing on the Ardell. So, you know, we're doing that. We're also developing a exhibit in the mill building. So this mill building, you know, we have the oldest continuously operated marine railway in the country that was built in 1849. Big, huge steam engine to you know, haul, you know, vessels up to 300 tons on the railway. Well, there was also this steam available, so there's a sawmill that was built in this building. And, you know, in the 50s, you know, for the next 70, 80 years, it was an active, even longer, the next 100 years, it was an active sawmill. So this exhibit will tell that story. And then the other thing that we're doing, which will, I'm extraordinarily excited about, but also, you know, I have concerns, but is that we are developing a fisheries exhibit. So we've gotten money from a private donor, and we just received a very generous grant from Applied Materials for the purchase of one of these interactive touch tables.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to be developing a fisheries exhibit this summer, because we believe that there's you know, a real hunger and appetite to understand what is going on with fishing out of Gloucester. Mm-hmm. You know, it's become such a complex story and contentious story. I think that my feeling is that a lot of people have, you know, just see it as noise and see it as finger pointing. And it's our attempt, at least to begin with, to really be a more vibrant museum or discovery center with this high technology touch table. And we think that it's that we're in the perfect place to tell the story or be a voice for what is happening in our fisheries.
It's a big task.
It is a big task. And that's
so
why I say
I'm moving parts.
It is. And so part of the challenge is, as you and I both know, is it's incredibly complex. Mm. And how do you distill it into some simple, digestible parts so that you get the basic storyline and you understand what the day in the life of a fisherman looks like, or you understand fundamentally what catch shares is all about, and you know, understand sort of, okay, you know, what stock assessment, what that means, and
this is
why
great,
the best science available you know, still has a lot of uncertainty associated with it. So wish us luck. We're working hard.
It's
and,
a great
and
idea.
We're looking forward to it.
It's a great idea, because I can tell you myself, as someone that's been on the waterfront my whole life, I've tuned out.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's the, you know, it's such a moving target. Like every, you know, I've seen these fishermen try to okay, these are the rules that have given to me. This is okay. If I do this, I'll be able to continue to go fishing. And then, you know, 6 months later, okay, I put all my eggs in that basket to be able to go fishing, but now I'm being penalized because I didn't catch these other fish, because they didn't want me to catch those other fish, so I don't have those in my landings, so now I'm not going to be able to catch those in the future, but I was trying to stay away from them to conserve, you know. So it's depending on who you talk to, regulator or fisherman, and you know, they're both biased. I mean, I'm not saying either one isn't, but they're both trying to justify the means and the ends. So I wish you well, but I mean, I'm happy that someone's undertaking it, because, you know, I've given up. You know, if you can distill it, I mean, what a service that would be.
I mean,
so that, you know, make it.
And I think the other thing that we would like to do, and I'll tell you right now, the interactive touch table is a, you know, is a technology that supports the ability to, you know, you can answer questions on the on this table, or you could, you know, provide almost like a blog some comments. And I think one of the things that is important to me and to our organization is, one, tell the story of what's going on today in a way that allows for different views and different perspectives, as long as you have access to some fundamental facts. And then the other is that, you know, like any regulatory program, is there's really a small subset of people that are making the decisions. And it would be great for people and visitors to have the opportunity to weigh in on these issues.
Yeah, I agree. What this summer, are we is the Schooner Festival and the Big Lobster Bake going to happen? What's the latest on all that?
Absolutely, you're going to be have a very large order for lobsters on Labor Day weekend. So the 30th annual Schooner Festival will take place. There's no doubt in my mind that it's going to be the largest ever, and we're going to get lots of boats. And we're working on a special surprise visit by a large vessel that I can't tell you yet who or what that is.
I have a guess, but I won't say it. But yeah. I have a guess.
So, anyways, we're off and planning and off and running on that. So all is good. You'll be getting your request for corporate sponsorship, or you do such a great job in promoting and supporting us in many other ways that we really appreciate the role that you do.
It is going to be, last year, I couldn't believe, I knew that it was, the idea was right there for the taking the lobster bake.
Yeah.
But I did not anticipate the crowd that was going to show up. And now that those people had such a good time and they tell other people, right, I can't imagine what's going to be.
Yeah, no, it was great. I mean, it was just great for the Schooner Festival. It was great for, everybody who participated as a sailor or crew, as well as visitors. And the reality is, it was a great event for us as Maritime Gloucester. As we do more programming, as we sort of, try to demonstrate our value to the community and be perceived as an organization of the community, the number of people that came up to me in the days following and just said, that was a great, I had such a fantastic time, what a beautiful place you have. It really, I think, cemented our role as Maritime Gloucester, as the hub of activity for the Schooner Festival and as a, community meeting place for, Cape Ann residents. So it was great.
So what are some of the things this summer that we can, that may be different than things that you've done in the past down here?
The big thing are what I talked about is both the outdoor exhibits and this new fisheries exhibit, as well as some other changes up there. We'll continue to do the classes that we do. We have daily drop-in programs 5 days a week.
And then they're drop-in. You don't have to sign up ahead of time.
You don't have to sign up ahead of time. Most of them are free for members or if you've paid an admission. And then we have weekly classes. And they're, marine science classes, marine ROV classes. We have a really fantastic week-long class that involves going out on the Ardell every day. So for a kid to really learn about maritime history and marine science and be under the tutelage of Harold Burnham.
What is that one?
I don't know the exact dates. I think so if you go to our website, maritimegloucester.org, and under education, there will be that information. The other thing that I just wanted to note, as you say, that we've got this very active programming season among right now, but April 10th, Friday night, we are hosting a woman, Rachel Miller, from the Rosalia Project, talking about marine debris. And this is a partnership of really the Harbortown Cultural District, as well as the Rocky Neck Cultural District, and a number of organizations as well. But she'll be speaking on Friday night and then on Saturday morning for about an hour. Unfortunately, it's high tide, but we'll be doing a harbor cleanup. And that will involve a bunch of adults, but it will also involve our Sea Scout group that will be out on a boat doing some work, and some students from Manchester Essex High School that are on their green team. And then the last event that I just want to identify is in May, we'll be holding a workshop around sort of climate change associated with our changing shoreline, really focused on beaches. And the intent is to get people to understand that beaches do change season to season, and yet, you know, obviously climate change is having an effect and impact, and you know, so understand sort of the changing nature of the shoreline, but people, I think, also want to understand, you know, what might they, what can they do, what shouldn't they do, and what are the sort of planning activities that their cities and towns on Cape Ann are doing or pursuing to, you know, be more resilient in the future. So we're excited to be hosting that workshop.
There's a lot going on here, Tom.
You must I don't know. Tell my staff to, right. to stop that guy.
This is not your, this right here. It seems like the culture of yes has been instilled at Maritime Gloucester. Yes, we're going to undertake that. Yes, we're going to do that. Yes, we're going to do this program, and I like it a lot. It's been so great to see all these interesting, things that really have to do with our harbor, and they're important topics, and it's like this place is the clearinghouse for that information. And otherwise, where else would it be? There's a bunch of groups in town, but they're more of like, you know, there's six people on a subcommittee or something like that, or 10 people on a subcommittee. Okay. This place here is inclusive and they want you to come down.
And we're working with all of those groups. And you know, it just so happens that we have, I think, a particularly special place on the harbor. And you know, we can connect to issues around that.
There you go. All right, Tom, anything you want to add in closing?
Nope. Thanks, friend. Keep on doing what you do so well for all of us.
All right, there it is, another GloucesterCast in the books. For Joey Scimitaro and Tom Balfe, have a great day, everybody.